Israel and the PLO are still hung up on efforts to break the deadlock delaying Palestinian autonomy. Political opponents in South Africa agree to negotiate their differences. Good morning. I'm Mitchell Krause with the CBS World News Roundup. The obstacle-filled path to peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians continues to delay implementation of last summer's agreement on autonomy. But as Bob Simon reports, the two sides are still trying to talk, even if at a later date.
Israelis and Palestinians went back to Oslo, the capital of their past successes, to try to come up with something that can work. They met for 24 hours under a news blackout and came out saying only that they'd meet again very soon. Israeli Foreign Minister Shimon Peres.
We went over the whole list of problems. Suggestions were introduced, and we are going to meet again.
The biggest problem is about borders, the borders the new Palestinian entity will share with Egypt and with Jordan. The Israelis insist on continuing to control those borders in order to combat terrorism and control immigration. The Palestinians, eager for symbols of statehood, want their flag and their police at the crossings. The Israelis are saying there will not be another Rabin-Arafat summit until the negotiators are an awful lot closer than they are right now. That almost certainly means that the two leaders will not meet again this week as they said they would, or for that matter, this year. Bob Simon, CBS News.
Egypt continues to struggle with a Muslim radical campaign to overthrow the government of President Hosni Mubarak. The latest chapter, another round of executions of convicted terrorists. Stephen Sacker reports from Cairo.
The executions were carried out early this morning in a Cairo prison. The Egyptian government has now hanged 29 Muslim militants in less than a year in its efforts to end the fundamentalist campaign of violence. All six men killed today were members of a shadowy underground group known as the Vanguard of the Holy Conquest. If past executions are anything to go by, remaining members of the group are likely to seek an early opportunity for vengeance. President Hosni Mubarak's tough new security policy hasn't stemmed the tide of violence in Egypt. Yesterday, a shootout between militants and the security forces in southern Egypt left 10 people dead. Stephen Sacker for CBS News. Cairo.
The holdouts in South Africa's political spectrum appear to be moving closer to an agreement that could make next April's first ever all-race elections more peaceful and comprehensive. But there are still some very formidable problems. Mike Sullivan reports from Johannesburg.
Government and African National Congress negotiators today are meeting with the Freedom Alliance, whose members are demanding stronger regional autonomy in a new political deal. While some compromises likely will be reached, the government and ANC have rejected calls by conservative whites for a separate Afrikaner homeland. The alliance's two main groups, the White Separatist Conservative Party and the Zulu-based Inkatha Freedom Party, fear domination by a future government led by Nelson Mandela's African National Congress. Whatever the outcome of the talks, Parliament is scheduled to vote Wednesday on a new constitutional package that will govern South Africa for the next 5 years. Mike Sullivan for CBS News, Johannesburg.
Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic's ruling Socialist Party has won at least 124 seats in parliamentary elections. That's 2 seats shy of a majority, but the party will have enough allies among smaller parties to ensure that Milosevic will remain in power. A serious ego problem, that's the charge reportedly leveled at exiled Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide by departing Prime Minister Robert Malval. The New York Times says Malval, handpicked by Aristide last August, is questioning Aristide's willingness to return to power because he rejected a plan to organize a national conference to break Haiti's political stalemate. An Aristide aide rejects the charges. Time on the roundup coming up on 4 minutes past the hour. Over the weekend, more Cuban and Haitian refugees were brought ashore in Miami Beach. John Decker of WINZ Radio says Haitian Americans are critical of U.S. immigration policy.
The Immigration and Naturalization Service considers the Cubans political refugees and will likely be granted asylum. The Haitians are considered illegal aliens and will be given immigration hearings to determine their eventual fate. Jacques Despinos, the president of Miami's Haitian American Democratic Club, says this Haitian-Cuban freedom ride only underscores this long-standing controversy.
They're still treating like two different cases. I think that is completely wrong and racist. I think it's about time the admission coming out to make it equal treatment. Always school treatment under the flag. The people are fleeing communists. The people are fleeing dictatorship. There's no difference.
Despinos and other leaders in Miami's Haitian community are calling on the Clinton administration to introduce legislation similar to the Cuban Adjustment Act, which would allow the Haitians to be classified as political refugees. John Decker for CBS News, Miami.
Detroit may have something to crow about again. The Automotive News reports that next year the U.S. will regain its position as the world's number one vehicle producer. The industry trade paper says American production will increase nearly 5% in 1994, topping Japan's output by about 200,000 units.
The U.S. is in an expansion of its economy, and therefore car and truck demand is growing. And by contrast, in Japan, they are now entering their third consecutive year of recession.
But auto analyst Marianne Keller says Japan's production of 2 million cars in U.S. plants is helping the U.S. regain its number one rating. The National Football League's fall TV lineup could be finalized today when the NFL is expected to award the AFC games to either CBS or NBC, which now has them. The decision comes in the wake of Fox Television's winning bid over CBS for the NFC games. CBS sportscaster Pat Summerall wants the AFC now that the NFC is going elsewhere.
I hope we get it. I hope that's what comes out of this. I hope we're still doing football on Sunday afternoon. I can't see myself in a living room somewhere with my feet up.
John Madden is one of Summerall's longtime broadcast colleagues.
I hope that we do stay together. To see it end would really hurt.
The New York Times reports NBC could get the AFC even though CBS has made a higher bid. It's now 6.5 minutes past the hour. In Jersey City, New Jersey, a community has responded quickly after a burglary that promised to leave a bunch of needy kids without a Merry Christmas. Newsman Wayne Cabot of WCBS Radio has more.
Two men claiming to be armed burst into a home for children with AIDS. They locked two healthcare workers in the bathroom while they stole $2,500 in Christmas gifts right from under the tree. But Christmas will come to these children thanks to an overwhelming community response. The stolen TV and VCR have already been replaced. A local deli bought a caseload of toys. And Detective Martin D'Angelo says the Jersey City Police are passing the plate.
Well, members of the East District and East Detectives, we took up a collection also for the children.
All the kids are under 5 years old, and the burglars saw the children, hooked up on IV feeds, and took the toys anyway. Wayne Cabot for CBS News, New York.
Mike Clark, the original drummer in the rock band The Birds, has died at his home in Treasure Island, Florida. He had been suffering from liver failure. He was 49 years old. Russia's Central Election Commission made it official today. The country's first post-Soviet constitution was adopted, approved by more than 58% of those voting. And ballot counting more than a week after the parliamentary election is continuing, though the narrowing gap between reformists and ultranationalists still leaves Washington concerned about the future. Bob Orr reports.
The emergence of Russian extremist Vladimir Zhirinovsky has U.S. defense backers warning President Clinton to go slow on military cutbacks. Zhirinovsky is rekindling Cold War rhetoric at a time that President Clinton is considering at least a $30 billion cut in Pentagon spending over 5 years. All of this as the president is also bringing a new Secretary of Defense on board. But Armed Forces Chairman Senator Sam Nunn says Mr. Clinton himself will be more involved in foreign policy.
I think whether Secretary Aspin stayed or whether he left, the president was inevitably going to have to spend more time on foreign policy affairs, and I think he's going to do that.
As for Zhirinovsky, the president's supporters say we shouldn't overreact to one man's bluster. But leaders in both parties caution that the president must keep tabs on the ultranationalist, who's threatening to return to the days of Russian expansionism, if given the chance. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Two Arkansas state troopers have reportedly alleged that President Clinton engaged in a series of extramarital affairs and one-night stands while he was governor of their state and even when president-elect. The charges on CNN and in the January issue of the conservative monthly The American Spectator sparked a White House statement which said such allegations were made, investigated, and responded to during the campaign, and any further response is not necessary. 17 teenagers burned to death in suburban Buenos Aires early today. They died when flames swept through a crowded nightclub whose emergency exits were padlocked. A Jewish cemetery was desecrated overnight in the German city of Worms. Police say unknown attackers toppled and damaged about 35 headstones, but no swastikas or Nazi slogans were smeared on the tombs as in other such incidents. The Ku Klux Klan erected a wooden cross in a Cincinnati downtown square this morning. The action came after the city council voted not to challenge a judge's order, ruling that prohibition of the cross would violate the Klan's right of free speech. The British man who admitted strangling five homosexual men after they allowed him to tie them up for sadomasochistic sex was sentenced to life in prison today. The London judge said that Colin Ireland did not murder the gays for sexual reasons, but because he aspired to be a serial killer. On Wall Street, after the first half hour of trading, the Dow Industrials are down about 4.5 points. It's now 10 minutes past the hour.